Welcome to Your Life Reset, a Virta Health podcast series. I'm your host, Teresa Link, and in this series, we'll hear from people on their Virta journey, the wins, failures, moments of adversity, and moments of joy they're experiencing along the way. So sit back, relax, and listen as we unwrap the truly human experience of Virta.
Hey there, listeners. It's Teresa Link, and this is Your Life Reset. Meet today's guest, Kristen Houston. This episode is all about transformation that goes way beyond the scale. We're diving into her powerful journey behind food, family, and finding purpose. From childhood habits and early messages about health to a pivotal moment at age 18 that changed everything, Kristen takes us through the highs, the lows, and the 133-pound weight loss that followed. But this isn't just a story about losing weight. It's about reclaiming identity, shifting mindset, and building a new life with intention. So stay tuned for an honest conversation about grit, growth, and what it really takes to change your life from the inside out. Well, thanks for joining us today, Kristen. I'm so excited to have you here, and we get to learn all about your transformation. I'm really excited for our listeners to get to hear your story today. So I want to kind of go back in time, starting with the way that you grew up. You know, your childhood. What kind of foods did you grow up eating? How did your family kind of talk about health? How did they talk about wellness?
Well, my family was more of like the conventional, you know, the 90s, yeah. 2000s parents. You know, we're going to do the food pyramid, and we're going to have the meats and the potatoes and the always have a piece of bread on the side, or not the bread, but like a biscuit or something. It was very much the food pyramid. And so that's how I was raised. And then, you know, with my grandfather having diabetes, it was kind of like they a little bit more strict, not really strict, but like they just were like a little bit like it's in the back of their minds. We need to, you know, feed you correctly. We need to make sure that you're fed correctly so that you don't end up having the same issues he had. He was one of those people, he was in the Marines and then he was in the Air Force. And then he just decided, you know, in his late 20s, he got diagnosed with diabetes. He was one of the most fit people. And then for him to get diagnosed with diabetes, it came out of completely left field. And then all of my family slowly started being diagnosed with diabetes. So it was kind of like one of those things, like it was always in the back of my parents' mind. If we don't take care of this and we don't make sure we teach you the right eating habits, you know, we just don't want you to go down the same path as him, even though none of that was affected.
You said something so interesting. And so, you know, a common thought from health professionals these days is that we, you know, the collective we, just we're not following dietary advice. And that's why we got to where we are now. But actually, the opposite is true. You know, when you look at thousands and thousands of people and the data that we have available, people were following these guidelines. They were saying, okay, I'm supposed to eat less fat. I'm definitely not supposed to eat animal fat. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to eat like, 6 to 9 servings of grains every day. And I think sugar was even right. Not that much of a, you know, of a no-no. It was kind of like, well, you know,
In moderation, it's okay.
But there wasn't a whole lot about how much even sugar we should have. But yeah, the thing is we did it. We practiced this. And so many people I've talked to, you know, myself included, most of my childhood was in the 90s, especially the early 90s. And my parents, they followed the rules too. We had no chips, no fried foods, no mm-hmm. nothing in the house like that. But we definitely had fat-free desserts, you know, fat-free cakes, angel food cake, fat-free, you know, snack wells. We had, a lot of like sugary stuff because again, it was fat-free. And so and everybody did the best they could. So, you know, you saying that too, it just really highlights how frustrating it is, I think, for so many of us and for definitely so many of our members to see our families and ourselves getting sicker while following the guidance. Right. So thank you so much for kind of talking about that and for recognizing that. And also you said it was your grandfather that first was diagnosed. Okay. And then many other members of your family started getting diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, right? Okay.
Yeah, right. It was just this yeah. like domino effect, and out of nowhere, here he is. He's got diabetes, and we're like,
yeah,
but he was fit. He did everything right. He followed the guidelines, and he was always on a bicycle, or he was doing something active, and you know, he didn't sit still. How does he, you know, like, and I understand that's not diabetes, but it's just right. like, how did that happen? And, you know, he ended up passing away when I was 2 from from complications yeah. from diabetes. And it was like, I think that was always kind of a fear in my face, you know, for my parents was like, we got to do this right. And, you know, and I did the same thing with my children. I fed them all the stuff I was thought I was supposed to be fed, because I didn't start having these issues until, you know, started gaining all the weight until yeah. after I was 18. So it was like, I was, you know, I was fit, I was good, I was walking, I was doing everything I was supposed to do. So I was like, okay, well, maybe it was just the life choices I made, the fast food, the this, the that. But my parents obviously did something right, because yeah. I didn't have any problems yeah, with weight exactly. when I was younger. So I did it with my kids, thinking that, you know, no problem. The oatmeals, the cereals, Honey Nut Cheerios, do all of it. And it just, I don't know. We're still told that too.
You're still seeing, you know, oatmeal, yeah. heart healthy. And the thing is, it could be for people that don't have metabolic disease, for people who are metabolically healthy. I mean, honestly, it's like, right. I think a quarter of the population, don't quote me on that exact statistic, but it's way more people right. have metabolic issues, meaning insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, obesity,
mm-hmm.
than the people that do not in our country. So it's pretty, a low percentage of the population can be okay and thrive on some of those, you know, quote unquote, healthy carbohydrates like oatmeal, like Honey Nut right. Cheerios. I'm not
right.
villainizing those foods, but following you know, 6 to 9 servings of grains, and trying to eat a lot of grains and a lot of high carb foods really doesn't work for the vast majority of us. You know, the vast majority of us get sicker with that. So you and I chatted a little bit ahead of time, and you had mentioned so many things shifted when you turned 18. What happened during this time? Why was this such a big switch or such a big pivotal moment in your life?
Well, I mean, when I was just before I turned 18, I thought, I'm going to follow my grandfather's steps. I'm going to go into the military. And I met with a recruiter, and the recruiter was like, okay, this is what you have to do. Your weight, you're going to have to, you know, depending on the branch that you pick, you're going to have to lose between 5 to 10 pounds. Okay, cool. My parents got me one of those Walkmans and, you know, the non-skip DVD, CD players. And, you know, I'm walking, I'm doing my thing. And I was like, okay, you got to get your grades up. Okay, get your grades up. You know, and I was like, it was time to do like that second meeting. Okay, we're going to kind of like do a weigh-in. We're going to start talking. And in the midst of that, I was telling him that I was diagnosed with ADD when I was a child, and they had put me on this medication, two different kinds of, you know, medication. Then they felt that wasn't working, so they switched me to a different medication. And when I told him about all this, he basically said, you're disqualified. Like, you can't go into the military, because we don't know at this point what the long-term effects are. Even though you're not on the medication right now, we don't know what could happen. You could, you know, we just don't know. So it kind of like, it was like,
yeah,
that was my plan. Like, this is what I wanted to do. Like, I worked it out in my head. So I was like, I kind of gave up on school. I gave up on, you know, and I can't say it was all that, but it was kind of like that, like, why am I even doing this? You know, I attended 8 different schools my whole school career because my, you know, parents moving and, you know, this and that. And it was kind of one of those things where you're like, man, like, I give up, you know, like, what's the point now? So I gave up on my health. I gave up on my, you know, my school. I gave up on everything. And I can't blame it all on the military, because I should have changed my focus and done a better job of, you know.
Well, one thing I like to say is, don't should all over yourself. Actually, I didn't make that up.
Right.
But, you know, you say you should have, right? Well, can't change the past. We mm-hmm. can only move forward.
Right, right.
Let's talk about a little bit of what, you know, how you said you kind of gave up on your health when you got this, you know,
mm-hmm.
bad news about the military, and you weren't able to follow yeah. through on the path that you had for yourself. How did this change the way you viewed your health? How did this change your eating habits, your exercise habits? You know, tell me about that.
Well, when I was 18, I you know, I left home like most kids do, and you know, and I decided that I was just gonna eat what I wanted, you know, like I was, you know, it was always like, you know, we're gonna do this and we're gonna have this balanced plate, and I was like, I want McDonald's, I want this, I want that, I want the fast food, I want to experience the, you know, I have grown up money, I want the ice cream whenever I want, you know, if I want to buy a cake, I'll buy a cake. So I gained about 50 pounds from the time I was 18 to 19. And then I got married at 19, and I from 19 to 22, I gained maybe 20 pounds. No big deal. Never. I was like, okay, 70 pounds, you know, but I didn't, in my mind, it was like, okay, I'm good. I still look good. What's the problem? And then I got pregnant with my daughter at 22. And after having my daughter, it was like, oh, you know, it's going to take a while. You're not going to lose all this weight at once. So okay, you know, I'm a mom. This is normal. It's okay to have a belly. It's okay to gain a little extra weight. And then I got pregnant with my son almost 3 years later, or had him 3 years later. And it was like, I had a C-section with him. Okay, I'm not going to, you know, I've had two kids. I'm not going to lose all this weight, you know? So what's, I don't know. And then COVID happened. And what happened? We all sat around and ate everything that was in sight.
COVID was not so good for many of us.
I just kind of. No. And so it was kind of one of those things, like I started gaining all this weight. And then February of last year, I went to the doctor and they're like, you're 310 pounds and you're pre-diabetic. And I was like, I pushed it too far. I messed up. So that's kind of, that was the moment. And then I looked at, you know, my husband and said, hey, you know, my employer, U-Haul, they offer Virta for people like us, let's do that. And I said, okay, you know, and I before I signed up, there was like a free seminar or something going on. And they start talking about the food pyramid and how the food pyramid, you know, turned upside down. And I was like, no one ever said that to me before. So I signed up for Virta and it's just been a journey.
Well, we're excited to hear about that journey in just a moment. So it sounds like that pivotal moment that made you want to make that real change was when you were diagnosed with prediabetes. Is that right? Okay. Because that's when, you know, the weight, of course, right? You have children. Sometimes you just gain weight. COVID was not kind to a lot of us. And that's normal. And that's okay. It's when your health started becoming impacted. It's when your doctor said you're pre-diabetic. And maybe it's when you heard that number that you thought, oh, a little bit of weight gain's okay. This has gotten, you know, this has maybe gotten too far. Yeah.
Out of control.
And with being so young, right, you want to be able to make sure that it's not progressing further, that you're doing something about it. So you got that diagnosis and you wanted to make a change. So when you were diagnosed, did you already have access to Virta and you just didn't know it yet?
So my husband's employer in January decided, you know, they do this video presentation, Joe Schoen does, the CEO, and he does this whole video presentation about the what's offered, benefits that are offered through U-Haul. And when I saw Virta and I said, what is this? You know, my husband was already having issues with high cholesterol, blood pressure, all kinds of other, you know, things, and you know, being overweight. And I was like, okay, what is this? And he's like, well, that's something that they offer. So I went to the doctor in February and I was like, oh wow, you know, like this is something that I can do. I can be on Virta. Like how crazy is this that I just watched a video last month from Joe Schoen, and then all of a sudden next month, boom, I have this, like, it was like a godsend. I had no idea it was even something that was offered, but apparently for over the last couple of years, it was offered. I just never noticed it, or it just never was something that was on my radar. So it was really the craziest thing, from learning about it 1 month and the next month being like, I can do this. And within a week, I was on Virta after my doctor's appointment. So it was weird.
We've actually heard that from a lot of members. Like, I got this diagnosis on a Friday, and Monday I found out I could join Virta, and I just did it. I mean, that happens more often than you might think. You signed up for Virta, and I know a big motivator for you was you got the diagnosis of prediabetes. What else was really motivating you to want to make this change besides the diagnosis? What else made you want to change?
Well, I think it goes with anything, you know, the fact of it was kind of like kicking yourself in the butt, because from the point that I was born until I was 18, my parents tried their hardest not to, you know, for me to learn how to not end up here. And I'm thinking, if I let this go any longer, if I don't get this taken care of, I could be diabetic. But I think the biggest thing is my kids. I said, you know, my son was overweight as well. And he, you know, and I was just thinking, if I don't change and I don't fix this, I'm hurting him, you know, I'm hurting my daughter, I'm hurting my son, you know, so my biggest motivator was probably my children, to be quite honest with you. Just, I was like, I have to teach them better eating habits. I have to teach them how to take care of their bodies, or, you know, I'm shortening their lifespan.
And you demonstrating that is the best way that they will listen. I feel I've heard from so many parents. I have a young child, so she's 5 and doesn't have the best eating habits. I will say we try to do our best. But I feel like if we continue to really demonstrate those positive eating habits and not just talk about them all the time, but really demonstrate them, you know, over time it will catch on with her, and she'll want to have more of those healthy eating behaviors by seeing it demonstrated, right? Rather than we're eating a bunch of junk and telling her not to. And I don't think, you know, that would fall on deaf ears for sure. But tell me, so your children being a big motivator, I think, is so universal and, you know, really keeps you going. Mm-hmm. So you joined in January 2024, is that right?
I joined in February.
So you've been, you've been changing your diet and your lifestyle now for over a year, 12, 13, 14, about 15 months, right? About a year and a quarter. So
about that, yeah.
Talk to me about what life has been like this past 15 months or so.
I mean, it's been just like, it's been interesting, because when my daughter was younger, we would used to do like this hike, you know, we go outdoors, we do all this hiking and stuff. And I was just talking to my husband yesterday, and I'm just like, could you imagine us doing that last year before we joined Virta? And now it's like, we're doing a lot more outdoor activities. We're talking about taking more hikes. We're talking about just all these activities that there's no way that either one of us would have been able to accomplish, you know, or our kids would have been able to, you know, want to be a part of. And now our kids are all like, let's go, you know, not that, you know, like my daughter's always been like a skinny mini, but in this past 15 months, my son has lost 65 pounds. My husband's lost 110 pounds and I've lost 133 pounds. So it's like the fact that all of us, it was kind of this domino effect of, I started this, you know, even though my husband, again, his employer is the one who started it, but like, I kind of started this whole process, and I came home and I said, I can't do this anymore. I have to change. I have to be the one that fixes this. And so I was like, you guys either do this with me or you don't, you know, but I feel like we have to do this as a family. And in that whole time, I just like, we got the laundry baskets together. We loaded it up with all the food we're not allowed to eat, all the drinks we're not allowed to eat. And we took all of it to our neighbor's house. And we're like, take it, get it away from us. We can't have this inside the house. It's too tempting. So that was kind of the, you know, the whole thing. And I had to learn how to cook differently. You know, my husband is, you know, from the South. He wants all the biscuits and gravy and all the fun stuff, you know? And so for me to have to try to figure out how to not only feed myself and with my food that I want to eat, but I got to figure out for the rest of them. You know, I got 3 other people to think about. How do I make this something that us as a family can enjoy, something that we can sit here and we can, you know, I don't feel guilty. I'm not sitting here going, well, I phoned it in again, you know, like I just threw it all away. So it was kind of like, and I had to learn how to be in the kitchen more. And quite honest, you know, because food prep is no joke. And so that's one thing I've learned, is to love your kitchen and make it usable, because I really was not making my kitchen usable before, love you know, kitchen. I started Virta.
So do you have a memory of when maybe you tried to make something new from, you know, kind of revamping an old recipe or revamping a favorite recipe to make it more friendly to your current lifestyle? Do you have a memory of that and something where you just said, yeah, I nailed it? I can do this.
Well, I think with cakes, you know, I've always kind of been the one that has, like, my husband's mom always made his birthday cake constantly. And so when she passed away, I was like, I got to figure this out. And so for years, I was always making cakes. And I joined Virta a month before my son's birthday. And I was like, oh gosh, bad mom moment. And so it was like, I had to try to figure out how do I make his cake? And then it was like, Virta's got this mm-hmm. recipe for pancakes. And I was like, how can I make this Virta friendly? How can I do this? And so I did a little bit of Virta and I did a little bit of myself and I made it work. And then my daughter's birthday came along 3 months later and she demanded a cake. So it was like, I had to figure out how to make a cake and how do you add Virta friendly stuff, you know, changing the sugars, changing the flour. And, you know, is it going to taste the same? Is it not going to taste the same? And I'll be honest, my daughter's cake was good, but it's not Duncan Hines, you know, but it was doable. It was good, you know, but it was just, it's trying to change your mindset and go, you know what, even though it doesn't taste the same,
yeah,
this one's better. And it didn't taste bad. It's just not your normal.
How did she like it?
So.
Oh, wow.
She loved it. I mean, she was just over the moon. Like, and that's the thing is that she could not tell the difference. It was me. It's kind of like when you make something and you're like, okay, this doesn't taste the same. And then you don't tell your family how you changed it. Like my daughter, she was just like, you just made it normal. I'm like, no, this is Virta friendly. And she's like, doesn't taste any different. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, works in my favor. So I don't know how I did it, but I did it.
You can replicate that, right? So that you can do it with many. It sounds like that was a big game-changing moment for you where you get that win. Mine was cauliflower mash or cauliflower mashed potatoes. Now, some people are really sick of cauliflower, duly noted. Some people say just, I can't, too many cauliflower things, right? And they just doesn't taste right.
Right.
The thing with cauliflower, I think, is you really have to be willing to try it many, many, many times until you get it right. I have what I consider my famous pureed cauliflower or cauliflower, you know, cauliflower mash. And I have brought it to Thanksgiving. I have brought it to Christmas. I have brought it to Easter. I brought it to anytime, non-holiday, you know, potlucks, what have you. And most people cannot tell the difference because I don't say anything, but it took me at least 20 different iterations before I was like, I got it, and do not ever make it differently. Yeah. I got it. And then I actually make it once a week. It's our it's probably one of our favorite, you know, favorite side dishes, and it's just so good. So that for me was my big win, and I knew, okay, if I can do this, I can try some other things. And I think that's just such a great confidence builder when you know I can make delicious stuff and my family loves it. And sometimes I make things that are not so great. And, you know, maybe you scrap that and do something else, or maybe you try to make it again and eventually get it to a spot where, okay, this is good. I can add this to my recipe arsenal, which is so great.
Right. Yeah. And that's like with, like I said, with my son, like I said, a month after his birth, you know, a month after I started Virta, I made the pancakes, and trying to make the Virta version pancakes, they're so watery. So it's like, okay, you have to be patient. You can't just flip it when you think it's time. You got to give it a couple minutes to do it so you can actually flip it over. And I think that was kind of a learning experience. It was like, you know, they always talk about the ugly pancake. Well, I had like 50 ugly pancakes by the end of it. And I was like, okay, no, okay. Like it was a lot of trial and error. And my kids are like, are you like, where's the pancakes? And I'm like, give me a second. They're all ugly. And they're like, what? Like, we don't care what they look like. Let's eat. And I'm just like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, give me a minute. Let me figure this out. And when I finally figured it out and I did that first flip, I was like, oh my gosh.
First flip that you got. Yeah. The first few were always the ugly pancakes anyway. Your first 50, you know, that's fine. And then you got it.
Yeah.
My first really, really ugly thing that I made was in one of our recipes, we have Teresa's handmade chocolates. And that started, they look kind of fancy now because I pour them into little chocolate heart molds and, you know, pop them out. And so they look really good. But when I first tried making these probably a decade ago, I remember I just like poured some, you know, bittersweet chocolate. And it was when I was first experimenting with Swerve. So erythritol. And I poured some like coconut oil in there and, you know, a little bit of butter and some peanut butter. And I was just trying to like figure it out. I threw it in the refrigerator. I took it out of the refrigerator and it was like super kind of like kind of chalky and just this weird, weird texture. It looked horrific, but it tasted good. And I was like, oh, I found chocolate that I can have. There's chocolate that I can eat on this lifestyle. Like that was a huge game changer too. I was like, I don't care if it's ugly. No one else has to look at it. This is something that I'm going to enjoy. But yeah, and then over time it gets prettier. And if it doesn't, who cares? And no one else cares. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if other people think it's ugly, it doesn't matter. More for you.
Exactly.
So you've had enormous success with over the past 15 months since changing your dietary habits, as well as your family. I mean, that's just really, you know, really incredible. You know, how have you been able to stay consistent with this change?
I think it's like you look back on those old photos of yourself where you just didn't realize how bad it had gotten. And you just go, you know, like every so often you're like Google or Facebook memories will pop up and you're like, let me look at this. And you look and you're like, man, like, that's a motivator, you know? And then staying really consistent is finding, you know, like I tell you, like, you got to get comfortable with your kitchen. You got to stick in your kitchen a little bit. Well, I found there's a neighborhood barbecue joint called Johnny's Barbecue near me, and they are so good, but they have so many Virta friendly options. Obviously they don't know that, but they have so many good options. So trying to find, you know, like, not having to spend all the time inside the kitchen and treating yourself occasionally while still staying on the diet, that's kind of been like a big thing for me, is just like finding that balance between treating yourself, but yet, you know, staying consistent. Because like I said, Facebook memories and Google memories will show you your past and you're just like, okay, like, and I'm not a vain person because at the end of the day, I really don't care. I didn't care what I look like. It was more about my kids and it was more about, I want them to be better. But at the same time, looking at how bad I had gotten, I was like, this isn't healthy. This isn't good. I want to watch my kids walk down the aisle. I want to be there for my grandkids. I want to be, you know, my great grandmother, she passed away. I think she was like 104. I want to be that great grandma who's sitting there and just enjoying my family. And if I'd stayed where I was definitely not going to be that great grandma. I was going to be the one that, you know, my kids are talking about and like, yeah, my mom was cool, but, you know, like, I just, that's kind of a motivator, seeing my kids' future and being a part of all of their big memory, you know, big moments, because we only get our kids for 18 years, but I want to experience 18 plus with them.
As many as you possibly can. Yeah. That's what really motivates me as well. I look at, you know, for example, I look at my mom, who's a very, very healthy, active 71-year-old woman. And she's unbelievable. I think I've mentioned her several times on this podcast, but she's a power lifter. Yeah.
Moms
yeah.
Are awesome.
She can like lift a car. and my dad, he's always been active. He's hiking all the time. He's, he's just always active. He's always out and about, and, you know, his health really demonstrates that. And he's able to get down and wrestle with his three grandchildren, 5, 5, and 7. I mean, that's not very, yeah. I mean, he's 72, 73, 72, something. And he's on the floor. He's on the floor and they are crawling all over him all the time. And, you know, it's like, I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to have, I want to have those moments. I don't want to feel like I'm stuck in a chair because I can't have those moments. And so what a great motivator is to look and really create those future moments for yourself, to really build that motivation and keep you going strong. So I have one more question for you, Kristen. I want to find out, you know, what additional dreams you have for the future? Any bucket list items that you'd like to do that maybe you thought you wouldn't have been able to do before?
I mean, I guess bucket list would probably be, you know, I guess the always the one is like skydiving or, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that. I mean, I would like to skydive. You know, I guess one of the funny things is, as weird as it sounds, I want a tattoo. And I always thought if I got a tattoo and I was, you know, like once I get to my, you know, my set, I'm done, you know, like I'm going to, what's it called? Stabilize. And once I get to that stabilizing weight, get the tattoo. You know, because if I got it before I've got to my set weight, I guess I was always afraid like my skin or something would be different. I don't know. But I was like, I'm like, once I get to that, my goal is I want to get a tattoo. I guess one day I want to skydive, you know, I guess my biggest things always involve my kids. Experiencing certain moments with my children are probably my biggest bucket list moments. Just their big moments are my big moments.
What a great way to end on their great moments are my great moments. Kristen, it has been an absolute joy to get to talk with you. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm just like beaming this entire time. It's such a wonderful way for me to spend my afternoon with you. And so I'm really grateful for you to join us today. I look forward to seeing that tattoo. We actually have a few Virta members with Virta tattoos. Not saying you have to get that. Not at all. But you got to let me know when you get it and we can have you back and we can talk about where you're at and you can show us your tattoo. As long as it's in an appropriate location. All right. Well, thanks again, Kristen, for being on our episode. And I look forward to how much you're able to inspire all of our listeners. So you take care.
Thanks for inviting me.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on Apple or Spotify. And if you'd like to regain control of your metabolic health and feel like yourself again, check us out at Virta.com. That's Virta.com. Your Life Reset is for informational purposes only and shouldn't be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Contact your provider if you suspect you have a medical problem. I'll chat with you all again soon. Until then, stay inspired, my friends.